Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with my cohort, Mr. Billy Body. Good morning, good afternoon, Billy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm from some location on Russo's brands, but don't ask me about it because people are tweeting me like real mad. Like it's my fault.
Well, yeah, I mean, what can you say too, you know?
I'm not saying what you're mad at. Like, I have no point if I said, why are you angry? Because
you understand.
I'm not in agreement with this process, and it wasn't something that was checked through me in terms of, I just did a show a week before where he was talking about people being critical of his decision to work with me. And I basically was on there going, what's the risk? You're not paying me. Like, we came on here, and the only agreement that we have is for you to do stuff with us. That was prior to me realizing that I was going to be a part of a hook to sign up to a new tier. The only discussion that we had is potentially adding the show, because it was going to be an extra show, adding it to the brand and then asking people to pay $1 for it, which I thought, if you're going up from $3.99 to $4.99, if you add more content, that makes sense on an existing platform. Not a new platform for $3. And also, he on his YouTube channel said that I would be replacing the Bro and Bro show, which was a show that went missing because he didn't want his son to be on the platform anymore. And then me being shoehorned in as a replacement. That means that if you're replacing one show for the other, then you really shouldn't do the $1 increase at all. I don't care what he does with his business, because I don't think that he's going to be too bothered when he comes on board of us and asking for a cut of this, that, and the other, because our agreement is an agreement. My time for his time, although my time will be more, he's Vince Russo and I'm not. That all ties in fine with me. What I don't like is the fact that it wasn't promoted very well. Like, I think I should have just been on chicken necks the whole time and saying, you got this guy for 4 weeks, this is a taste, and then we're doing this.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
this pretty simple.
This is a taster of what we're doing. And then people would have not get people like into it and then say, we're taking it away from you. It's like basically paying for a meal and then the restaurant walks off, takes it off the table when you're halfway through steak and says, we changed the price. Like, that steak was $10. We need 20 now for you to finish it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's zero problem with that it got moved just the way it did, because I listened to that show, the first one that you weren't on anymore, and I'm like, okay, he's going to promote, you know, right off the bat. First thing is going to be, oh, you're probably, you know, looking for Billy, but yada yada, and not a word. And I was like, okay, well, where's he going to be? And I'm like, I know you and I have direct contact with you, and we all had no clue where you're going to be. No. You had recorded the show already and had no clue where you're going to be.
No. I didn't know the show. I recorded the show and there was no mention of it being on Patreon because obviously it was going to be there. But the thing is that I also did the YouTube video and plugged what we were going to be doing on the other side of the show, but without telling people where the show was. I didn't think it comes down to anything scheming in terms of, I just think it's a guy who looks cool and is in touch with pop culture more so than Vince McMahon, and also is a guy that has done a lot, but is just not in tune with how you promote that kind of thing. And I think that was just a case of Vince Russo being 60-year-old Vince Russo and just not taking the right steps in terms of marketing that show, because marketing is not his job. He didn't work in marketing. He worked in being creative. And the fact is that bringing me in was a creative move, which has he saw somebody that would generate a buzz, and it definitely generated a buzz because there were more views on those videos than anything else that anybody else was doing on the brand. But I think from Jeff's perspective, Jeff Lane, who's the guy who runs it in the background, should have then taken the steps to guide Vince and say, if this is what we're doing, it didn't even have to be throughout Chicken Nets. We're going to give people a taste for 2 weeks. Because if you say people, I'm going to give you something for 4 weeks and I'm taking it away, they wouldn't have got into it anyway. But then let them get into it for 3 weeks, and then on the final week, do a big this is it. This is the final week that Billy's going to be on Chicken Necks. Next week we're doing this. I almost feel like I should go back onto Chicken Necks and go, hey, if you're wondering where I went, it's over here. We need to like now work backwards. I will say something again this week and say, hey, totally fine with what you're doing. I just don't think you've given yourself a chance by promoting. I don't think you've done a good job in promoting it in terms of what you did. I think just by me disappearing and vanishing and going, hey, I'm over here. And I don't think it's down in anything to heat. I don't think it was a case of I'm moving you because there's heat, because there was always, it was always going to be a lightning rod anyway. I think they knew that from the beginning. But I think it was just a case of doing it in a bad way. I think all of a sudden July hit, and that was some kind of invisible deadline where he thought, oh, we're into July. We need to move across now. But I tell you, you didn't listen to the second one either now.
No, I mean, how? And you know what's even more bizarre is, to me, why is there two different platforms? Why isn't everything just on one thing? I don't know, understand why you have to have two completely different
services. Yeah, I don't either. When you're charging for one,
you got to get two feeds and all, and it's like, and the guy who set us up, contradicting Brian, he, you know, who heard us in the first place and got us in touch with Russo and started the whole entire thing, he's not even signed up, and he's the one who got you involved. He was like, it's just too much to be bothered with. He's already a subscriber, and now he has to go to a different entire platform to do it, and it's another money, and he's like, eh, forget it. And I'm like, well, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you're on a free show over here every week.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm on a free show talking about wrestling, and I'm on a Patreon page. That's the thing. It's not just his Patreon page. It's his brand, his Patreon page, my Patreon page, and then there's this podcast as well. So in order to get the whole circle, you need four. But there's a lot of repeat information in terms of like Vince's opinions about the wrestling and God and all that kind of stuff, you know, the kind of the preachy stuff is all within the brand. And then you go over to the Patreon channel where Disco has a show and where I have a show, but I'm pretty sure that Disco's not doing Vince's show on the brand and then doing his own show for free. Whereas I'm the only guy saying, you know, I'm supposed to be the bad guy and all this, but I'm saying, don't pay me. Just come and just give me, pay me with some time, because we have an idea for our own podcast that we're going to be doing here, and we'll announce all that stuff nearer the time and we get around to it. But it's just a bit messy. I think I'll speak to Jeff rather than Vince, because I feel like he is the guy that guides it. And I'll speak about doing a pop on, maybe even doing a different show. Like, a lot of people message me and go, you should do the Castrating the Mark show. The Castrating the Mark show instead, where they talk about the news this week and whatnot. But the news this week hasn't been too much compared to last week. It's just a case of watching the shows and then trying to work out who's missing and seeing if they passed the test or didn't pass the test. The only confusing part, the gray areas, are some of the people not wanting to come to work. But over on the SmackDown side, so here's an interesting thing. We'll start with SmackDown, because we're going to do a different kind of show this week, because this show's going out early because we're doing it earlier. I watch Raw on Tuesday mornings and Cav watches it on Monday night. And Cav is now doing this on Tuesday morning, which for me is 12:30, but for you is 4:30 a.m.
Yep.
Fucking ridiculous. So it's still dark outside.
Oh, yeah. It's still dark.
Yeah.
I get up at 4 a.m. before work anyway, so I usually go to the gym when gyms are actually open in California, but now I go to the garage. So
there'll be more of a focus on the shows because it's fresh. In my mind. Not to say that's going to bring out the length of what we have to talk about, because the shows are still quite bare.
Yeah, and we'll be done by my time 5:10. You know, so we're not going to be dragging on like a lot of the times we go on, and we're doing an hour and a half, and some people don't enjoy an hour and a half. They like a more condensed show, of course.
I don't want shows at that length anymore. So the point I was making was, if we look at SmackDown, a lot of people will look at that and go, oh, well, they blew the whole COVID thing out of proportion or whatever. No, they didn't. So this is the thing. SmackDown had this show that we saw last week with the Matt Riddle and John Morrison and AJ and Drew Gulak and the whole Sheamus and Hardy thing that we saw. They had that in the can from the week before. That was they already were advertising things that happened on last week's show 2 weeks ago. But what they did is off the back of Taker's retirement, somebody had the idea to say, hey, look, AJ Styles has tested positive for COVID. So people will never, ever know it if we put that show back a week and we have to tape less. All we have to do is throw in a whole bunch of Undertaker stuff, tape 40 minutes, and put this show ahead of the show that we were going to air this week. And that's exactly what they did. So the show that they had taped from a few weeks ago, we saw it on Friday. They taped a new show with the people that weren't positive for COVID that week, where they had the disastrous tests with the main event being Corbin and Jeff Hardy, did half an Undertaker show, put that show on the week earlier, and then this can show they showed last Friday. So the show that we're going to get this Friday that's coming up, that's going to be a new show that was taped last Thursday. If anybody's following this, if you're following it, then I imagine that everybody's able to follow it.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, sure, of course. I'm wondering how the hell Vince hasn't caught anything. He's around all these people. What the fuck?
This is the thing. A lot of people that I'm speaking to are saying that it's possible that he has caught it because he's had an attitude change towards it. In terms of two types of attitude changes have occurred. There's, number one, a lot more procedures in terms of he now feels that it's very much a transferable thing. So therefore, there's fines now for not wearing masks around a building, which is stupid because you wear them in the ring. He's changed the testing for COVID, which is one of the things that I mentioned on Vince's show. So as of Thursday, when SmackDown taped the SmackDown that's going to be aired this Friday. So to take you back a little bit, the week before was the disastrous tests. SmackDown had their guys there. Loads of them failed. So what they did is, out of all the people that turned up, SmackDown's tests were actually worse than Raw's. They taped a 40-minute show, which they aired immediately that week, and a lot of guys went home, like AJ, etc. And then the can show that they had, they aired this Friday just gone. So now the one you're going to see this weekend, that was taped last Thursday, where they had the blood test, COVID test, Jesus. And the Raw was taped on Friday, where they also had the new blood test, COVID test. The blood test, COVID tests give you an immediate result, and it's more accurate to say whether you have COVID now. The antibodies test antibodies that will test you over a 3-month period. So here's the interesting thing. Apollo Crews' blood says that he has COVID now. And Apollo Crews' antibodies did not test for it the week before, whereas Randy Orton's antibodies said that he had COVID in his system, or the antibodies of COVID, which meant that he had to go home, come back, and take a blood test this Friday to say that he didn't have COVID now, whereas Apollo Crews' test went the other way. But that means that Randy Orton was okay to wrestle and pass COVID around with the antibodies, because they take longer to come through, for about a week. Also, Randy Orton was aware of his child picking up COVID, one of his kids, not his child, one of his older kids coming to the tapings and catching COVID as well, among the one of the Street Profits, but I'm not sure what one. It's just a big fuck up, because these antibodies tests were something that you should never ever have been doing. When you need immediate result and you have to wait 1 week for result, why are you even bothering? So you're testing people for antibodies, you're letting them to go out there and sit and letting people go out there and wrestle, and then you get the test back a week later and you're phoning people and saying, don't come to TV. It's fucking stupid. Like, Randy Orton got the phone call to say, you and your kid can't come to TV this week because your antibodies test was positive.
And I'm like, oh, he's sitting around Flair? Because when I saw him show up yesterday, I was like, oh, fuck, I thought he was fucked up. And I'm like, he's back already? But didn't they tape this? And I was confused.
Yeah, well, I need the taping schedule to like really make sense of it. But what they do is they I need to find a taping schedule here.
So I'm like, but Apollo has it, so they just strip him of the title?
No, he's got the title. They didn't strip the title yesterday.
Okay, because the way they made it sound like was that there's a new champion. They're going to crown a new champion because there's new belt.
Apollo Crews is facing MVP for the belt. And you know, MVP is the one that introduced the belt this week.
Boy, oh boy. The belt with the owl, which we'll get into for sure, because I have thoughts on this fucking belt. And maybe it's a fact of me being an old man, but I got issues with a lot of shit.
Like what, though?
Well, they enjoy to ruin everything. They cannot stop themselves from ruining fucking everything. It starts with the fucking world title originally. They go to the belt as a fucking advertisement. I'll say that always. It's hey, this is WWE. Look, it's a giant symbol. That's their championship, a giant logo. And then we get the tag team belts have been fucking dog piss for fucking years with their shit design. Then we, of course, they cry, which we all believe they cry about Cody. And that's why they changed the IC title and we have to change it because he's not our friend anymore and he brought it back. Let's get a new design here. The 24/7 belt, we already know that fucking piece of shit. The worst thing we've ever fucking seen. And then you get this one, the new United States title, which I thought at this point was their best looking belt by far. The original US title, not original, but the last one they just had, was the best looking design that they had left, and they ruin it by doing this. Now, this new belt, the fact that it says champion across it is more the issue than anything else. And the way it looked on TV looked like a fucking owl with Zack Ryder's glasses was on it. That was a fucking issue where I'm like, why? It takes away legacy and prestige from a title. Like it's a Stanley Cup where everyone's had the same thing and passed down. If these were the old belts, like the old tag belts, the old Winged Eagle, the fucking IC title, it's like everyone who was champion held this belt and it was, you know, touched by all these people and it was passed down. It's the same thing. It feels to me more important. When the IC title first ever changed and it was that I don't even know what the fuck you would call it, looking like a figure eight design, it to me just did not mean as much. And it's stupid because it's a name and that's all it should matter. But to me, I was like, it's not the same title. It's not the same championship. And they do this constantly to where I don't even think the new IC title is horrific. I think it's the fact that it's replacing something so iconic. If it was a new title, if I don't even know what you would call it, the fucking transatlantic title, if that was a new fucking title and you go, this is the new transatlantic title, I go, okay, that's fine. It's something new and it's not replacing because it's a lot of detail and this and that. It's not my favorite still, but you go, all right, it's something new. And to the other side of the coin on that, where you go, well, here's a new title and it's the 24/7. That thing is the fucking ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life. But it's also, I think, ugly because that title seems to be a bit of a fucking joke. So I don't think it's as prestigious. Like, let's not make this thing look the best. Like, if the new IC title was the 24/7 title, it'd almost be weird because it'd be like, why would you have something so nicely built as this piece of shit title? But that's where I am with it. And I was just like, I think the majority of this U.S. title is because it says champion across the front in big giant letters. And I'd love to see what they decided to pass up on and said, no, this is the one. I thought the other one was very good. I like that the flag was behind it. This one, like, doesn't even have anything. And I'm like, hell, if anything, they should have just even brought back the old WCW one and just had it say WWE at the top. That would have been, you know, cool to see some old school shit like that. But they can't get out of their own way. They seem to like to fuck things up. They just can't do anything right for themselves.
All right, so I agree. I like the old United States title. I like the Intercontinental titles, and I don't know why they changed the belts for belt's sake. But so I have the taping schedule here and what was supposed to happen. That SmackDown that we saw this Friday, it was taped on June the 16th. And wow. It was supposed to air on the 26th of June. But instead, what aired on the 26th of June was the disaster tapings that they had, where they couldn't end up taping anything, so they ended up just taping with those few people. The 26th. So what you noticed this week was the one that aired on the one that was supposed to air on the 26th of June was pushed to the 3rd of July. No mention of Independence Day or anything like that whatsoever. So that was they would have done loads of stuff related to centering around Independence Day or whatever.
Had a barbecue out there, I'm sure.
This show was so old, and that's why you had AJ defending the belt against Drew Gulak, because the show that was supposed to air on the, let's have a look here. The show that was supposed to air on the 3rd of July would have been a new show. So what they did is on the 26th, they aired like that half show with The Undertaker on it and just got what they could out of these wrestlers. I'm trying to find this date where this was taped. Can't, because the taping schedule doesn't go that far ahead. The 30th, here we go. The 29th and the 30th was those disastrous days where they had all these negative or positive results for COVID. So on the 30th, they postponed the tapings, and then Raw and SmackDown were done on the Wednesday and the Thursday instead, at the same time that NXT was taped. And they basically just kept some guys around Florida and did a very tiny version of SmackDown, which was half the Undertaker stuff. So this Thursday and Friday, which was actually in real time, the 2nd and 3rd of July, they got this Raw done that we saw on Monday with the new blood tests, and the SmackDown that you'll see on Friday, which this week is going to be, I'm losing track of days here, the 10th of July.
Okay, so yeah, today's the 7th.
Yeah, it would have been taped on the 2nd of July, and you're going to see now all the people that pass the blood tests on TV. But the only confusing part is there's some people that just don't want to be a part of the tapings at all. And Kevin Owens was originally one of these people that didn't want to come in.
Did they lie and say he broke his fucking ankle or something, or what?
Well, he had that ankle injury from that bump that he took at WrestleMania.
But they used that as a that this is why he was out for so fucking long.
Yeah, and I think these blood tests are encouraging a lot of people to come back to work. So you might see people now coming in. I just don't understand how AEW had them in the first place and WWE didn't. But
how about Taz with his promo talking shit about we don't run a sloppy shop?
But that was right, though, to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty right on the money.
Yeah, I mean, that was the right thing to... That was the right thing to do from the start. It's just weird. There's a lot of... It's really difficult for me to report the news on this. And people, you know, like Meltzer and Alvarez and Saturn and all that, they can just go in there and they can just make stuff up, which is what they've been doing. And I'm trying to get all of the taping dates right and trying to find out the legalities behind it as well. But there's gray areas where when you research it or when you talk to people, nobody explains to you stuff. And maybe you have to be in the US to understand it, but I don't understand. AEW had these tests. WWE didn't have these tests. WWE are saying that that they were not able to obtain those type of tests. They could only obtain the type of tests that they could, but AEW could get them from the beginning because they're in Jacksonville. And what's the difference between the capabilities of being able to get a test in Jacksonville and not in Orlando? And this has been verified by people. They're not actually, not all sources are throwing WWE on the bus, because they're turning around and saying, yeah, they really couldn't get those tests in Orlando and you can get them easier in Jacksonville. I don't understand that, because that's not even a state-to-state differential. That's just... Does anybody know, or do we have to speak to our boy Nick, who might... He's Mr. Politics, and...
That makes no sense, because I was first like, well, Florida probably, because they're a disaster right now. And I'm like, well, it's in Florida, both of them, so what the fuck?
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. There's not governors within states, is there? Unless, of course, they just sent a... Unless Jacksonville had a worse pandemic. I do remember at one point when they were talking about cancelling WrestleMania, that the first few cases were in Jacksonville. And they were saying, oh, two people have got it in Jacksonville. I remember that. So maybe that... They may be working ahead of time. Maybe it's a time thing. But I certainly don't think that... It's a money thing, because the antibodies tests are a lot cheaper, and they do, and they can be administered by your own doctors. And obviously now people are coming in to run the COVID stuff. But there was a lot of stuff on Vince's show where it was about a lot of people are telling you different things. Mark Carano doesn't know what he's doing. People ask Bruce questions about, can you get fined for this? Can you get fined for that? He doesn't know anything what he's doing. Apparently his creative completely sucks as well, and no one's happy with it. I mean, even this week, I saw one of my ideas on TV again this week, and it was changed into a way that was so stupid that it made no sense to me at all, because I've now watched it. And do you know what? There's not been any point in me... it's not even possible for me to talk about this without me going into it. So we were looking at ways in terms of, I was having a conversation with Drew in Drew McIntyre in terms of ways, ideas to extend this feud. And what I ended up seeing on TV was his friend. And I'm not going to talk about what ideas I came up with and whatever, but I'm telling you what ideas I didn't come up with. And I didn't have the idea of his friend going onto TV and telling and calling him a bad friend. Because Cav has read what my script was, mm-hmm. what I pitched, right?
Yeah.
And it certainly didn't have his best friend telling him that he's a bad friend. Instead, my idea centered a lot more around Dolph manipulating this whole situation. And Dolph actually beaten Heath Slater, but instead they went around it this other way. Like, what did you think though when Heath Slater's in there telling Drew that you haven't called me for when was the last time you called me and all that, and then they make friends at the end? Like, that just makes no sense to me at all.
I'm glad you said that, because that was my thought. Like, everything he said was true, apparently. Because Drew wasn't like, you know, you're completely wrong. He was like, yeah, I fucked up almost. And then at the end, it was, yeah, they're best of friends still. It's like, so it erased everything that he did shit on you and doesn't talk to you anymore?
Yeah, so the gist of my idea, without me going into details with it, was that Heath was around and Drew would say to him, he would say to Drew the opposite. Thank you so much for getting me this opportunity tonight to get my job back, because mm-hmm. champion then is shown as being A, a nice person.
Good guy. Yeah.
And B, he's got stroke around there now because he's the champion. And then I had the idea of what I wanted was 2 weeks out of this. So I wanted Ziggler to screw Heath in the tryout match, which could be against anybody, like fucking Mojo or somebody. Pick somebody. It could have been a match where Heath looked like he was going to beat somebody on the main roster and Ziggler cost him. And then Drew helps him out again and says, all right, so I've spoken to people and they said that's not fair. And next week you're going to have another match, and this time it's against Ziggler. And then Ziggler gets the heat going into the pay-per-view because he beats Heath in the ring in his second chance, because God knows Ziggler needs a win. And there are a lot of like other details in terms of that where I would write about how this promo would go, etc. But at no point at all did I have any ideas that said that Heath Slater was going to put out a line that where Drew had to agree that he hadn't called him. Because fuck me, he's been calling Derek Montier apparently. So how are you not?
Well, it's his real best friend. What are you talking about?
I mean, this should have been if they did anything, it should have been a case of what they should have done. They were going to do this is when Drew was in that match with Oscar, where he took his first loss of the year. Drew's won 33 matches this year and lost one. And that was that tag match, not that he was involved in it. But the fact is that instead of him not being involved because he picked up Ziggler and got thrown into a ring post, which makes him look bad because he was incapacitated for 2 minutes while Sasha and Oscar did the finish, which I thought was dumb. Why didn't you have Drew low blowed or something by Heath to take him out of that match instead? And then Heath comes out and explains it and says, I did this to you because you didn't call me or whatever. At least if you're going to do that, have Heath be more involved with it to the end. Even have Heath in the corner at Extreme Rules. So at least you think that Ziggler has a shot. Now Ziggler has done nothing. He's got a title shot for no reason. He's bought out Heath Slater. It hasn't worked because Heath's been beat. Drew gets to beat Heath and Drew doesn't even need a win. And then when Ziggler's beating him up, Drew runs Ziggler off and Heath immediately forgives him for not calling him for 3 months. And the thing is that Drew saved him when Heath wasn't even being beaten up that badly. Like, Ziggler was only on top of him, like, giving him punches. Like, wrestlers come back from that in the middle of matches all the time. It's not like he had a fucking chair over his neck. I didn't understand any of this at all. And I saw people on, and this is another thing I've realized, the bar is so low at the moment that people see something like this in terms of, oh, this is very different to what we're expecting to see on the show. Because if you look through the rest of the show, you've got match, match segment, right? And it's all everything you expected to see. So the show starts with something they didn't expect to see. Everybody's saying it's good. Everybody's saying that Heath's cut the best promo of his career and all this kind of stuff.
Well, sure, he hasn't had to cut any promos other than goofy shit his whole career. It's the first one that had any passion at all to it, of course.
But did it actually make any sense? And what did it do to your champion in terms of where you're turning around and saying, he didn't call me? Because there's no way he didn't call him. Then make, like, in wrestling, the idea is for a babyface to make him look even better than he really is. So if he's like a tough guy, you make him look like a fucking killer monster. Yeah. If he's like a nice guy, you make him look like
kissing
he's fucking,
babies. Yeah,
like the whole Make-A-Wish thing with John Cena. Yeah. But then we saw him in Total Divas, and he hates children. So that was So that was a real stretch. What they did a real good job with Cena, whereas they got this guy out here and saying, you fucking didn't call me. You're Mr. Big. You changed. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing that will kill people in real life. As soon as as soon as somebody gets famous or bigger, the worst thing that can happen to them is their friends go out to the media. And I'm not talking about wrestling here. I'm talking about other things where they go out and say, you've changed. Fuck, we got Meghan Markle over here, and we had our own. They had our own family turning around and saying they sold stories saying she's fame hungry and the royal family shouldn't trust her, and that has turned all the country against her. She's not liked here to the point where her and Harry have moved. They don't even live in England anymore. They live in the States. So that's how bad that turned around, like her own family coming out. But this is always the case whenever you have friends coming forward and saying this person turned into an arsehole, like that's like the kiss of death. Or, it's, you know, there's been various stories over the years where wrestlers have got more and more famous, and suddenly they've started to snub people in hotels or going out the back doors or whatever, and all of a sudden you get the marks on online saying how this guy's now a bastard and whatever. But this is a terrible, terrible way of doing it. I didn't like this at all.
I fucking laugh too that this big impassioned speech, the best thing he's ever done, fully heartfelt, fully in the right even as a bad guy, you know, and he's angry, and the match was about a minute long. He just got whooped. I was like, I like looked down and I looked back up and the match was done. I go, well, all right. I mean, I understand you make Drew look good, but Jesus Christ, why even? It was like Ziggler's like, great. Well, what the fuck was that? Fucking trash. So,
well, I didn't mind that because it's like putting him out of his misery as quick as possible. Like, so you don't have to like.
I was almost like, why'd this all happen when it was that quick of a thing? And of course, they can't have a storyline that goes on more than 1 week. You know damn well it's all one and done.
But that's the thing. Like I look at this and go, why did I even waste my time? Because I had this, you know, I had this conversation and it was like, you know, I sent my thing and it was like, do it this way. And I think of everything. I never write anything where the person that I'm trying to protect isn't protected and the person I'm trying to get over isn't over. So I wrote an idea where A, you gave people something different to look at. B, you made Drew look good. C, you made Dolph look good and put heat on him for the pay-per-view. I had an idea that stretched across a longer period of time and had all of those factors factored in. And even you could even say D, because I had Heath slightly going into the Indies, having a decent match with Ziggler where he almost could have almost won, would have won a couple of times, but then he lost, which makes it even more agonizing. And then you could even go further when once Heath's lost, where Ziggler's then beating him up after the match, and then you get the save in by Drew. So Drew's a hero. I just don't get it. I don't. And or you don't, if you don't have him for 2 weeks, this didn't even have to play out over 2 weeks. You could have Heath and Drew McIntyre at the start of the show. You see them backstage, and he's saying that he's thanking him and saying, I got this, your match is up next. I got you this match to get your job back. They can go through like the whole, like, you know, talk about the Spud thing because Spud's recently done that. And then Heath goes out there and he faces like Mojo and it's like 3 or 4 minutes and he's going to beat him and he doesn't win because of Ziggler. Mm-hmm. And the other things that, you know what, the other thing Ziggler could have done, what would have been a really good finish to that match, instead of pinning Heath, Ziggler could have come down to the ring and super kicked the guy that Heath Slater's facing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you make contact with the other guy gets disqualified.
Yeah.
So Ziggler just come down to the ring. So he's setting up for his finishing maneuver or whatever. He's got the guy down and Ziggler just comes in and punches the other guy.
Yeah.
And then jumps out the ring and is like laughing and stuff. And then he ends up getting and then later on in the night, you've got the other match. Why'd you close the show with this Oscar Bailey bullshit with like, they had 30 minutes to wrestle. 30 minutes again to wrestle with a match that didn't have a good finish and was only there to set up the tag match next week. And then even after this Heath and Drew segment, you have Banks and Bailey talking again, wasting time. And then you have a Banks and Kyrie match, which just ends up in a schmoz.
Isn't she leaving Kyrie?
Yeah, when her contract's up.
When is this? It's shortly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured she was back to leave. That's what I had heard.
My notes say, Sasha rape-worthy Banks and Bailey.
Well, for all your creative ideas, I said, you know, could Drew at least steal her panties for you or something? Something unique?
Well, there's no point. They don't use them. That's it. That's the thing. Like,
take them off her husband.
The thing about me is I'm not sitting here taking credit for anything that's been on TV because I'm sitting here telling you. Well, sometimes there's been stuff I've had on, but I've never commonly mentioned what it is. But I'm telling you that they totally, like, didn't use my stuff this week because when I saw some pictures, because I was trying not to watch the show last night, but I was on Twitter trying to research some gambling stuff for today. Mm-hmm. I saw a picture of Heath and Drew. I was like, that's, I can't believe
it. Yeah, because you messaged me and I was like, the first thing, because Billy sends me a text about his idea, showing, look, I pitched this. And I'm thinking, you saw Heath come out at first? And I'm like, well, how do I reply to this? Because I think Billy's saying, look, this is my idea. Because I was like, it wasn't what you typed. And I was like,
yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, well, he showed up. That was the best I could give you. I was like, yeah, he should thank you because you pitched that he be there. So it's like you had your whole idea pitched and they brought him in, but it was completely different than what you suggested they did. And then you were like, is this what they did? And I was like, oh, he just knows that Heath went there. So you probably got excited like, oh, fuck, they used my entire idea. And it was like, well, they brought him. So you see where the idea came from, which is, don't tell me it's a coincidence that they magically brought in Heath Slater. You know, I don't think they're coming up with that. I think 100% it was pitched your idea, and then they did something else.
That was Drew McIntyre's idea.
Oh, of course. I forgot about
To bring in Heath Slater.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, he mentioned it to me before.
And then you said, how about this whole idea for it?
Well, he mentioned it before in terms of heating up other opponents that were not hot enough during down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was surprised it was Heath because I was surprised it was for this feud because I thought Heath was going to TNA because he teased something about being for a comeback on the date of like Slammiversary.
So is this just a one-off that, okay, we'll hire you to come in for this show?
Drew's had the idea. Credit goes to Drew in terms of him having the idea to use Heath for one of his feuds, and I had that in my mind in terms of having this would be the one because this is the weakest feud that he's had.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, ever, ever, and I never would write anything where Heath Slater ever turned around and said, "You didn't call me." That's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. And then the thing is, as we move through the rest of the show, the rest of it is just the standard bullshit. But some of the stuff on this show is so ridiculous. So we'll move just past quickly that whole waste of time with Sasha and Bayley out there. It's not a waste of time whenever Sasha's out there at the moment because she's just got something. She's honestly the most, this is a weird thing in terms of, to look at her and to explain it to another person, it makes absolutely no sense. She is someone that she just grows and grows. And you do get to that Sammy Guevara point where you just think, God, I just want to fuck her so bad. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's from, she has a presence on TV. And I think you just need to be in tune with that because to look at her, I think she's maybe the most unattractive person that I've wanted to badly fuck because there are many like flaws in terms of she isn't perfect looking in face.
She's almost like, very good looking.
I know that's your phrase, but then then you think, all right, I get past that because you know she may have some like titties and whatnot. No, she's got no tits at all. None.
No, then so I guarantee they're like fried eggs.
Yeah, so there's nothing there at all, but there is. Because she manages to make it all work. And there's loads of pictures of us that have surfaced with, you know, her with her wig off. And, you know, she's very, very, very made up. And there's pictures, and even I've, like, met her and got a really bad picture of her with Bayley with Austin. But, you know, you just don't care because, like, that character grows on you and you want to fuck the character. And yeah, I still completely understand what Sammy Guevara says. After that, we do this boring segment with Rollins talking in the Kevin Owens show, and everything Rollins says is
what is that? By the way, that was the other thing. What kind of match is that? Stipulation.
I've got that here. So we got Aleister Black looks like fucking shit. You can tell that the person writing the show has changed from Heyman to from somebody that likes him and really loves that kind of shit, because Black's kind of Heyman's got a hard on for these tattooed emo guys, mm-hmm. because he was the guy that was risking his job and shouting CM Punk until he ended up leaving ECW over it, and now he's got that same hard on for Aleister Black, and Bruce comes in and he just sees what we see, which is a greasy, smelly, average sized tattooed guy that we don't see, who can't cut a good promo, so we don't mm-hmm. see what the big deal is. And Bruce, kind of on that side of things, is the same as us. So we're seeing Black much lesser utilized, even to the point where he's used as a guy to get beaten up backstage, and Kevin Owens replaces him in this match. And after the match, we get this fucking goofy eye for an eye stipulation, when they don't even tell you what it is.
I'm like, he's going to remove his eye. I'm like, so, oh, I lost the match. Now he's got to sit in a chair like it's a hair match. Sit in a chair. And I have to dig into your head and pull your eyeball out.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
And they all sit there. They were all, like, somber. And this is, we've never seen a match like this before. I don't know what to think.
Right? So tell me, like, he wins the match, right?
Yeah.
And he's about, and if this happens, he cuts his, and Ray's about to take his eye out or whatever, or vice versa. And either Dominic makes the save, and his dad just gets out of there. And Rollins is just standing there with his knife, and all vice versa. Rey Mysterio is about to do it, and Rollins' guys just beat him up and stop him.
Yeah.
And then Dominic comes out, he makes the save, and Rollins escapes. So, either way, what if this just winds up with somebody they having a match, and then somebody gets saved from it happening to them? Because that's all that's going to happen.
That's the first thing I think too, is if this is what they have to do, it's just gonna be like Rollins runs away and doesn't have his eyeball taken out. I mean, is this gonna end lead into the Jake the Snake Rick Martel blindfold match eventually? I mean, that's the only place I could understand it even fucking going.
I have no idea. I mean, Rey Mysterio is out of contract, so he's doing this show outside of his contract. His contract finished on like July the 1st.
Mm.
So he obviously attended this taping and is going to do this pay-per-view. But I imagine he signs a new deal, so his storyline has time to run and just going to involve wrestling and all that. But I have no idea. This is one of the stupidest things they've done, because they cannot come through with it. And yeah, all right, you get people to the pay-per-view or whatever, but it's like that thing where you could always get people to pay-per-view. You could say CM Punk's returning and play his music, and it's fucking Baron Corbin dressed up as CM Punk and saying ha-ha to people. You can, but you don't. You don't do it. And this is something that you just cannot deliver on. Nobody's losing their eye, and you're not even going to be able to pull off the special effects of someone losing their eye, because then nobody is going to continue to wrestle and sell this eye injury. It's not like
rest of his career, no eyeball.
Yeah, it's going to be like, okay, we're going to now commit Seth Rollins his final 15 years of his career that he had, or 10 years, 15 years, whatever he wants to wrestle for.
With a the patch.
Rest of, the, yeah.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know what's funny is I'm watching all the SummerSlams right now, and I actually just finished the one with Dominic involved. I was like, oh, fuck, that's interesting that I got to write that to that point when he's actually on TV right now, too.
You're reviewing SummerSlams on your Patreon page.
Yeah. It hasn't started from... It'll be July 22nd that all of those start, one every day for 32 days. So I'm watching them all, taking notes. So I'm in 2005 right now. So it's... it's something. They're good. They're all good, too. You're like, oh, man, these were good shows, you know? And I haven't hit the era we're in yet, where it's going to be fucking clunkers.
No, there's some bad ones.
I got seen as the champion for the first time now. So that's the where I'm like, oh, we have entered the Cena era. You know, just got past American Badass, all that. So
you're going to get Cena Jericho now.
Yeah, it's Cena Jericho. Very good. Yeah, you're a fucking wealth of information, which I'm always fucking surprised by.
That's where Michaels is the main event with Hogan, and he's turned heel.
Yes, Hogan and fucking Michaels. It's funny because in the beginning of most of the shows,
he just sell off the big boot.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is I already wrote down like notes about this because I don't say what the matches are coming up. I'll go one by one, so it's a surprise if you don't remember. And I'm like, one of these matches has the most selling you've ever seen in your life. Like, Jesus Christ. So
Hogan does like the Hogan pose, like the ear cup for like 20 seconds then before he hits the leg drop to make it.
Oh, I have to make, watch for that.
Yeah, they're like that. I think they were both just, I think Hogan was just like, I'm not having this fucking rematch with him afterwards, which is what was agreed to. But yeah. Man. We've done the US title thing. Lashley's fucking killed New Job Squad and
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. MVP was back there later trying to sign Cedric. I don't even know why he bothered. I like the bit where he said you're the king of catering. I don't remember exactly what he said, but everything he does is you could compare that. Like, literally, you've got the Iconic segment next to it, and then you have Iconics with Ruby Riott, and then you have MVP talking. Bailey and Sasha are not good backstage either, but no. Then it's just, it's so, some of it's so wrestling goofy, and then you see the MVP stuff where it shows you how it should be done. But Lashley squashes these guys. Orton gets the pinfall on his match. The best part
that was good
of that, well, the match all, a lot of these matches ran across two segments. I've only got seven things down in my note. Heath and Drew, Sasha Rateworthy Banks and Bayley against Kairi Sane, boring Rollins and tag match, new US title, Ashley kills Job Squad, Orton wins six man tag, best part, Orton telling off Garza, because that's the kind of shit you need to be integrating into it. But I don't think none of this is Bruce stuff, which is why I think the show is very Bruce. It's very like paint by numbers. You talk, you have a match. This talking, this leads into a match. Backstage segment leads to a match. And the matches are just long and boring. Like Iconics against Ruby Riott with Billie Kay having the match this week. Billie Kay can't even hit a fucking finish. She couldn't do her own finish. And Ruby, you know, Ruby Riott isn't at fault here because she can take the finish.
Last week she made a wrestling match, yeah.
Yeah, she made Peyton Royce look really good by taking that spinning brain bust, and everybody was sharing all week, and these morons are going, oh, Peyton's really improved, what a finish, and all that. It's like, the fucking person taking it does all the work. Like, wait till next time she has to wait till she has to hit it on Liv, and Liv gets a broken neck out of it. Then what are you going to be saying? It's that ugly duckling doing all the work.
Yeah, it's that fucking schnoz. And I'm like, why is she wearing hair extensions? Her hair is long. Is this green hair to go to her ass? I mean, what the fuck?
I you know, I'd have difficulty getting through that, like getting through it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it depends on what they do. That's all.
But I don't know if I...
The novelty.
We're on course to finish on time because we're at the main event of Raw.
Thank God, because yeah, we got about 5 minutes left, and well, I gotta go to work.
Yeah, I gotta go. I'm watching three Dark Knight films from 2:45 today. So
the main event is, I laugh because when we're about to start this show, I was like, okay, you ready? And you're like, I got 3 minutes left, and I almost wanted to tell you, you don't need to watch the last 3 minutes. It's, who cares? Like, it's a long match that, okay, she wins. Asuka wins.
Yeah, they tried to do the water spitting to replicate the end of NXT, but I don't think anyone, I don't think water and mist is going to have the same residual effects. The thing is, let's get off the show because it's done. Like Bailey ends up losing, and next week Sasha Banks and Bailey will retain, so they'll all go even in, and at the pay per view, everybody retains their belts, right? We think like this. Dickhead in NXT who posted the photo of Keith Lee with a belt.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I didn't hear about that.
So this dickhead from IndyShare thought that the show was going out live. That's how dumb he is. So they were taping 2 weeks of the NXT Great American Bash, and Keith Lee's there with a belt and fireworks, and he taped and he puts it on his Instagram. Well, and then he deletes it like 10 minutes later, but these marks like grab hold of it. Like, I would just fire him. I don't see how he can. I mean, if he's not fired now, he's not going anywhere in the company, is he? Like, that's a pretty big thing. Adam Cole's run has been long and meaningful, and now it's over. It ends tomorrow. I'm sorry if I'm ruining this for people that didn't scowl the
end. No shit.
We've got Umar, so we can't escape.
Yeah, we'll find out. We got a guy in our thread that'll tell us everything. You know what's funny is when you see, I laugh every time they show the graphic of Keith Lee and Adam Cole standing next to each other. And I go, okay, I know it's wrestling, and that's why Adam Cole will have a chance in this match. But I'm like, realistically, there wouldn't be... It looks like a child standing next to somebody. He's fucking enormous next to fucking Adam Cole. Yeah. So you would say, how's there a chance? But, you know, there's always, okay, there's an escape and this and that, but... Okay.
I mean, in a sense, getting to Karrion Kross and Adam Cole was a bit weird anyway, so I guess they need a transitional champion en route.
Mm-hmm.
But you can think that, like, both Cole and Lee will be in the main roster by the end of the year, because I would think Karrion Kross is, the rush is to get him winning the belt on that SummerSlam show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think after that SummerSlam show, where you enter the Karrion Kross era, maybe Lee sticks around for one rematch or whatever, but I think he's coming up, and Dijakovic's coming up, and Cole's coming up. The problem is that who is then left on NXT? Because you don't have a challenge. Nobody can touch Karrion Kross. There's nobody can go near him that's left. I guess you can get maybe a match out of Dexter Lumis versus Karrion Kross, which is why he's winning. But from that point on, you're really fucking stuck for challengers. I guess Finn Balor could stay there and do a match with him. Velveteen Dream's probably going to get fired. Being a pedophile.
No way. He's staying around.
After that.
Yeah. I think rules change when you have a fucking moneymaker. All of a sudden they try to fucking make it work. Unless it's fucking outright he fucked a fucking 15-year-old and now he's up on charges. That's the only way. And how all much right. does Dexter Lumis look like a Stone Cold when they see his show his face? Doesn't he look like Austin? I think he looks exactly like fucking Austin.
He looks like Samuel Shaw from TNA.
Oh, you know what? He does look like that guy. I wonder what happened to him.
I always wind up Austin and say that.
Oh, really?
John Moxley looks exactly like Dean Ambrose. Guys are nuts.
Does he? Dad, he is. And then just keep playing. Go. No, this guy's name is different.
Yeah, I said I said Ambrose doesn't wrestle anymore because Drew injured his eye with a pencil.
He works at a Waffle House. He should be in that match with Mysterio.
For PG stuff, they've done a lot of stuff with people's eyes. You know, it's in terms of they tell people not to copy the wrestling moves, but they know that they do.
Yeah.
But then having all this focus around eyes at the moment.
That's rough.
Imagine like they're in trouble for all this fucking COVID testing and lying to their shareholders about the Saudi deal and leaving their wrestlers there as hostages. I mean, this is all 3 months of news, and all these kids are at home. Can you imagine some kid takes another kid's eye out and says he watched it on this fucking show?
Oh my god! How great!
I'm not even in the social justice warrior army. Like, you know that, but I do think that like it's a little bit irresponsible that you show something there where a guy does something that to the other guy's eye, and then the guy comes back and wrestles. He sells it for like 2 months, and kids are probably thinking, "Oh yeah, I'll hurt my brother's eye. He deserves. He'll be fine in 2 months." Nope. I'm angry enough to hurt his eye for 2 months. It's like my anger. I'm not angry enough to kill him, but I know if I put his eye onto a sharp object that he'll be fine in 2 months. That's my level of anger.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. Well, we've hit our 1 hour mark just now, as you saw on your phones. So we will continue on next week with more info. And I wanted to get into something, but I won't even bring it up because it'll drive people crazy that they didn't get to fucking hear about it. And we can get into it next week. Although I'll ask you off the air. So now people really lose their fucking minds figuring out what the fuck I'm talking about. If you want to find Billy on Russo's show, send smoke signals. And maybe you'll fucking and go to a fucking psychic and maybe you'll find where to go. But I'm actually going to ask him about something he said on the other show because I heard a clip on like a YouTube or something, wherever the hell Billy is. And I was like, oh, I wanted to know about this story. I would have listened to the show. But as you well know. So if you want to find any of my nonsense, go to @LingusMafia and on Twitter. And then you'll find, as they say, Billy, all roads lead to @LingusMafia. And where's your nonsense where we could find you?
Yeah, I'm doing all my soccer stuff again. It's over at the website lockbetting.com. We've just come off a profitable month in June. We've made over £3,000 again. It's the pinned post, and it's free to look at. You can go and have a look at my actual spreadsheet at lockbetting.com. So just go, don't even have to sign up. Just go to lockbetting.com, look at the spreadsheet. It's the 73rd month in a row that I've made a profit now. Yeah, that goes back. That's over 6 years for those of you that can't do the maths on that. I started in June 2014, and for 73 months in a row, I've made a profit. And all the spreadsheets are there, not all 73 of them, because I only joined Patreon like 2 years ago. But 2 years worth are available. So make sure you check that out. Killing it on soccer at the moment. You can also get your betting picks for Extreme Rules. If you just want to bet on wrestling and the UFC this weekend, because UFC fucking Fight Island, fucking crazy.
Yeah, with Paige Van Zandt.
Well, that's definitely nowhere near the main fight, but
yes, it is.
That's all happening this weekend. If you just want to bet on WWE and UFC, just go to thedirtysheets.com and get the $40 package, and you'll get all of your WWE, AEW as well, this Fight Fest picks out at the moment, and UFC. And if you just want wrestling news, that's just $5. And I'll try and throw some additional podcast and content, some, because I've been sort of neglecting the $5 area and just been trying to get news bits out, just been trying to get you the news before Russo, because obviously you guys are paying for it, and I want to sort of take care of my guys first before Russo's guys, because you guys have been here longer. But yeah, that's all my shit, thedirtysheets.com. and if you watch the Russo video this Wednesday, you'll get more information about where everything's going down with the Russo stuff, because we go live on YouTube at 3 p.m. my time, which will be, what time is that for you? What time is that for North, for just Eastern America, like New York, etc. is 10 p.m.
Well, I think it's 6 hours. You're 6 hours ahead of
8 hours ahead of you.
Yeah, you're 8 ahead of me, 6 ahead of East Coast.
5.
It's only 5 ahead of East Coast?
Yeah.
I totally thought you were 6. What is Paige Van Zandt's like nickname? What do they call her? Do they have a name?
No.
I thought everybody has a fucking name. They say Paige the Animal Van Zandt, something like this. No, she doesn't have that?
I can't recall what it is. Oh,
I thought it was going to be Paige Rape-Worthy Van Zandt, but maybe she didn't change that. I thought I heard that somewhere. All right, everybody. I'm Cav Manning. He's Billy Body. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.